Welcome, Women's World Cup edition of the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. John the Hawk Stevens is going to miss the first segment. He's going to be here for the second segment, he said. So what's going on, Josh, from Sportsline?
Yeah, I didn't know you were dedicating the whole show to the Women's World Cup.
I kind of like to figure out where we are in the year and what the excitement is. I guess I could have said NBA free agency show.
Okay, sure. But, yeah, fair enough. Hey, it's been on, you know, day and night. Now we're finally getting down to the, whatever, Elite Eight, Final Four of the Women's
Kinda,
World Cup.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm sure you saw today the USA kept rolling with that 2-1 win over France. To me, that was huge. We talked a little bit last week, and I thought France at like 5-1 might be a nice one. Your home field advantage in that big of a tournament you think is huge, and they were playing well. But, you know, U.S. took care of business, and you and I talked a little bit about this before the show. They continue to lead the way with the future odds. You can still bet on whatever team you want to win it the rest of the way, despite being a decent, you know, size favorite the whole way. Last week they were about minus 120, and we mentioned, you know, they've won a couple matches since then. But right now at William Hill, U.S., you could still get them to win the whole thing at just -150, which seems like it's a pretty good discount given that, you know, they have two fewer games to win than they did last week at this time.
You know, talking about that, Josh, you know, I had a little bit of bet. I had a little bet today on the draw. I just thought it was a juicy price, half a unit. I just bet half a unit, not even a full unit, on the draw at +270. So I made a half unit bet for some, you know, and I guess I could have got there late. You know, U.S., they scored early once again. And then they held on for a long time. They actually went up 2-0 in the 80-minute mark. France scored to make it 2-1. Then there was a handball that blatantly did not get called. They were in the box. The girl from France took a shot on goal, and it hit the girls in the hand. It should have been a free kick, 100%. You know, I've seen, put it this way, Josh, I've seen a lot worse calls in this World Cup than that one not being called.
I know.
Going back to the one where we did have a little bit of flavor on the Japan game.
I told you, for what it's worth, I'm just being, you know, honest, transparent about my interest in soccer is generally minimal. It's just not my thing. But comes around World Cup, I have no choice. The job I do is, hey, we got to do every sport. Doesn't matter, expert or not, you're going to become an expert by the time the tournament starts, because that's literally what we do. So I spent hours upon hours digging into this stuff, where I had the right FIFA press kits and websites, stuff I didn't know. But by the time the action starts, funny, can you learn a little bit about something you can't help then A, be more knowledgeable, but B, a little more invested by it, right? So I learned about all these teams for weeks, and I've been doing the previews, and I've been having the TV on in the background, watching more soccer than I ever have. And then, I texted you the other day, said, hey, I've done a ton of research on this. I think Japan's got a pretty good, you know, chance to pull an upset here against France, and they were +340 to do so. And I said, you know what? Two results this decade. Can 2011, Japan won it all. 2015, second place. Like, you've got a first and a second on your resume this decade.
And you're getting a prize.
Yeah, and so they've got a ton of experience. And I found out during the first preliminary, during group action, a couple of their key players were injured and were coming back. Like, this is just outrageous. +340, I think there's value here. So we, you know, went in on it, put a decent-sized bet on it. Sure enough, like I said, it felt like a bad beat. They tied it up 1-1 before halftime, and then a pretty controversial handball call, you know, happened at the end. I don't mean France. I think that was against Netherlands. But except this one was the opposite. It was one where I thought, you know, the girl was turning away, and it looked like it bounced, you know, off her sternum, and they still called it with 2 minutes left in, you know, regulation. There's nothing worse, you know, for the team you're betting on, that, like you said, to have a PK picked up against you, and they spot the ball 5 yards away, and, you know, world-class players can make that shot. So that was a bummer. But, yeah, more informed than usual about soccer, and curious to follow this to the end. I still think, you know, USA is the rightful favorite, but there might be a couple of live dogs in the other, especially, you know, this one, Germany. Germany hasn't allowed, they're the only team condemned and allowed a goal, period, the entire tournament. And rock solid defensively. They've won, you know, last decade they won back-to-back World Cups. They're a viable candidate.
You know, looking at the odds right now, we're talking, you know, obviously recapping a little bit. USA played France today to get down. They're in the final four now, and they're going to take on England on Tuesday. England's 6-1 to win it right now. Or actually 4-1 to win it right now. They were 6-1. You know, so that side of the England beat Norway today, and the USA beat France 3-1. Or 3-2. Excuse me. 2-1. That's what I'm trying to say. 2-1. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, everybody kind of leading into where we're headed with this, Josh, everybody kind of had the taste in their mouth that the winner of the USA-France game was basically going to go over and win the rest of the World Cup. Now, when they went into the 16, when they got down to the final 16 teams, the USA to win it all was -120. Now they've won two games, so they only have to win two more games. So they're halfway through the field with victories over the number two seed in the B group, Spain, and then coming back and beating the 1A leader in France. And you've only you can still get the USA at minus 150. That's a huge advantage right there. I mean, if you really think USA had a chance at 120, this should probably at least be minus $2 right now.
No, I agree. I told you I've actually seen other sports books with a steeper price. So right now, the William Hill U.S. price is probably the best discount you'll see in the U.S. But I agree, Ken. That's what I told you a few weeks ago, even before it started. And there's something about it, especially if you follow NCAA tournament or anything else like that. A huge favorite in a multi-bracket format, though, where they got to win a bunch of games, it's usually not a value. Like, if you're laying a price from start to finish, that team who is that kind of chalk, A, they rarely win it, and even if they somehow do, you're laying a price from the start. You can't really pretend there's value on that. But as time goes by and they keep winning, you're right, the value's now. So I still didn't even like it. Remember a week ago we talked about USA minus 120. I said, I'm not sure I want to lay a price with anybody. But now you mentioned they're in the Final Four. You're essentially – that's going to equates to a overall two-team parlay before it starts at minus 150 on the team that's the runaway favorite. You're right, the time to hit that – I bet you anything by tomorrow morning, price is going to be steeper.
I agree. I mean, I think it's just an oversight right now. I think that the book, this is one of the spots where the book hasn't caught up with it. But
for sure, once the other team, a couple other teams get knocked off, it's going to get steeper.
It's going to be updated. I mean, they've adjusted it right now because they've eliminated France in the future book and they've eliminated Norway in the future book. So they have made the adjustments. But I think that the pool is just sitting right there and it's very ripe at minus 150, Josh. Another thing, like you said, Josh, like I said, USA is going to play England on Tuesday. I haven't seen the number for that. I actually fired up the mobile app. Josh loves it.
Yeah, I haven't seen
I don't see anything.
Sometimes.
Here it is. No, it's okay. Up right now. It did just come up. So USA plays England on Tuesday. England or USA in the three-way. USA in the three-way is minus 125. England's plus 335, and the draw is plus 275. That's a great price for on the USA right there, at minus 125, Josh. Minus 125.
That is, too. Again, that's the thing with the three-way betting, Ken. You always get a good price on the favorite because with that many options, they can't. It's not like baseball where it'd be like, whoever it is, Max Scherzer is going against the Marlins, so it's minus 330. They just can't do it. They give you all the options, so they have to. And that's what you're right, though. Favorite to win is the biggest discount you see in all these. And, frankly, the last few games especially, there are some upsets. There always is in the pool, the group play. But lately, Ken, that if you go back and kind of track those results, the short favorite – just to advance or to win on the money line. It's been a pretty good deal, and it's been coming in pretty hard. But for what that's worth, right now England is the second favorite at just 4-1. That's another one where you're right off the top. I think the regulation draw also has a pretty good value. You said 275.
275 in the England-U.S. draw. What's crazy, if you look at this, Josh, from betting soccer, I basically just a World Cup better, and if somebody's to give me something, maybe in a Premier League or a Gold League or Copa League or something like that, I might bet it. But USA's minus 125 right now in the three-way. Like I said, the draw is plus 275, and England is plus 335 to upset in the three-way. But the U.S. minus half a goal is also minus 125.
Right. So they're like, we don't care. Same thing, no matter how they advance, that's your price. But what you just mentioned, for instance, let's say you liked England a little bit, whatever, in this game. Now you have the reverse dynamic where the USA is a value to win it all given their short price. If you liked England, forget that. Why? They have to win three more games. Why not just take them plus 330 to beat the U.S.?
That's
you get
it.
The same return. Yeah, they'd still have to win all those other games.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have to worry about it. So it's almost, you might as well.
That's
just
where I was headed.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was headed. Just take England at plus 335 to advance.
Yeah.
Why would you bet England in the future and give up? I mean,
it barely,
like you said,
barely a better price.
Because England still has to – they have to go through the United States. Then they would have to go through whoever's on the other side. So they have to win two more games.
Right.
Well, excuse me.
Oh, you're right. That's a Final Four matchup.
Yeah, but still two more games.
But still, right.
But still two more games. So, I mean, you'd probably get better value on England to make a two-game parlay. And just take – if you wanted to bet $100, bet $100 on England at plus 335 and roll that over to whatever they are in the finals, and you'd make more money.
I agree. And put it this way, too. If England got through – assuming they did for a moment, they'd probably be an underdog. There'd be an underdog against Germany. So you'd be the plus money both times. That's why the plus four right now doesn't make a lot of sense.
So let's handicap these couple of games tomorrow. Let me scroll back up to the top of this. The first game tomorrow, Italy versus the Netherlands in the three-way. There's two ways to bet soccer, listeners, and just to educate you guys. If you already know this, I apologize. But a three-way wager in soccer is you can bet either team to win and the draw. Draw meaning the game is tied at the end of regulation plus the added time. Okay, so that's it. So that's three-way betting. Then you have the two-way betting where it's just you just pick the winner. It doesn't make any difference. It's basically who advances. But you might have to lay half a goal. For instance, let's look at the Netherlands game right here. You have the Netherlands at plus 115 in the three-way, but you have to fade the draw. Or you can just take the Netherlands minus a half a goal at plus 115.
Right, or the opposite. Like I said, if you take the underdog plus a half goal, that's where you sort of get the draw included. You have the draws on your side plus the underdog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you bet the underdog, exactly, Josh, good point. So if you bet the underdog and they win, you win. If you bet the underdog, you get a half a goal, and it's a draw, you win. So you're basically getting two of three.
Two for one special
for one.
Right there with reduced, a much lower price.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a reduced price. So like we said, so in the two-way tomorrow, we have the Netherlands minus a half goal at plus 115, Italy plus a half goal at 135 with a total of 2.5 in the under minus 130. Josh, you're the soccer guru when it comes to this stuff. I follow people in this, and I have an opinion, and I've, you know, I did really good on the last World Cup for the men's, following people and watching it and educating myself, but I don't have a really good feel for this game. The next game, I kind of might have an opinion. That's the Germany-Sweden game, but I want to get your opinion. Do you have any opinions? Have you done any research on Italy-Netherlands?
Yeah, Ken, like I said, at this point I've got a familiarity with the teams. Italy's got a little more experience. Right now, the Netherlands, there seems like an up-and-coming team. I believe this is only their second. There's been eight, I think, Women's World Cups. The Netherlands, this is the only second time they've even qualified, but last time they went to the round of 16, so this time they've bettered their accomplishment already. And they've got, like, what's seen as a good, young, and up-and-coming team. It was a pretty big – it was a pretty big litmus test for them to get past Japan with so much success in their history there. And they have one of the most productive offenses. You know, they're averaging a little more than, I think, the 2 goals per game, which is high in soccer, of course. And all those things added up. I would take a shot on the Netherlands in that game.
All right. Keep looking at it, Josh. I got to text my buddy Pat Fleury. He's blowing me up during the show.
What would you say the second game?
The second game, Germany. The Germany game. Germany-Sweden. Three-way betting, Germany's minus 160, draws plus 280, Sweden's plus 450. Or you can lay half a goal with Germany and take the minus 150. Going back to the future book, Josh, here, look at this. Why would you – do you kind of feel like Germany's coming out of the other side of the bracket? I mean, if Germany right now is plus 450 – they're plus 450, and they got to play Sweden. Sweden's 20-1 to win it all.
Right.
Then they would play the winner of the Netherlands and Italy. Italy is 25-1, and the Netherlands is 10-1, or 20-1. So I mean, why would you not take a flyer? Why not take a flyer, Josh, and take Germany at the plus 450 and hope they make it to the finals? Because you're gonna you can come back and play the United States on the other side.
Right. But
what?
I think you mean not Germany's not plus 450. It's
no the futures.
To win the World Cup, I thought you meant just the game. Oh, I got you.
Oh no, Germany for the game is minus 160.
Okay, right. Because I was going to say I would take almost.
I guess my point
there.
Here, Josh, is if you like Germany in this game, why not just bet Germany to win the whole damn thing?
I agree, because that's a huge overlay. Because you're right, that's where there's a value, Ken. Right? Because if you want to say, assuming for a moment the United States gets through or whatever, Germany's going to be an underdog in that match. So you've got a pretty juicy 2-game parlay right there without having to lay that juice tomorrow. So that would be. So as you break down team by team, some of them have value and some don't. But Germany, you're right, plus 450 in a two-teamer, that's a pretty good one.
I know, absolutely. So do you like anything in the Germany? Like, and it goes back to what you're saying, Josh. How many goals has Germany given up in the World Cup?
Zero. So that's what's tough. So obviously to bet against them, you got to bank on a team somehow getting through. They're not even allowing shots on goal hardly.
Why not just take two bets, minus 160, minus 150? I mean, is Sweden really going to upset them?
Doubtful. What's the total in that one?
Two.
Yeah, because I would also
two over minus 130. But you're only laying half a goal. I mean, if Germany wins 1-0, 2-0, you're right. So
yeah, I'd almost be tempted to, even though obviously two's not many, I'd almost be tempted to look at the under two because
really, you know, the under, huh?
Well, that's just both teams. That's the obviously Germany's. You know, plays that lockdown defense. They haven't allowed any goals, but by and large, at this point, an underdog that big, you know, their strategy as well, as you see a lot of these, like just play real conservative on defense and then just sort of try to be opportunistic on offense, like you somehow get a breakout with a numbers advantage or whatever. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, like if that, I mean, 1-0 seems like a real likely final score.
So you look at this one or 1-0 or 2-0, and you get the two, you get the push at two. So what you're saying is you don't see it necessarily getting pressed to three.
Exactly. That being like the 2.5-2 difference is being pretty huge, meaning I feel like you're free rolling on a two. I'd be stunned to see 3 goals overall in that game. I mean, it could happen, but I just feel like, yeah, okay, a push at two being pretty likely, but you also could cash the under.
All right. So to recap all this, there's two games tomorrow in the World Cup. We have the Netherlands and Italy. That game goes off at 6 a.m. It's going to be an early, early game. And then we have the Germany game, which is going to go off. And I am going to play some Germany tomorrow. I think Germany's is way too much. And I was talking to somebody that handicaps a little bit, and they think, like I said, take Germany on the three-way, and then or just take it all in Germany or the three-way in the advance. Basically, right. Three-way in advance.
And then sometimes on the chalk, you're better off just to advance because you don't want to have to root for them to to be ahead by one in regulation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just exactly. Move on and pay the price.
Yep, exactly. And then you have the USA Tuesday coming off the 2-1 defeat today versus France. USA is going to match up with England on Tuesday. USA in the three-way, meaning just to win the game in regulation, is -125. England to win the game in regulation, that's regulation plus added time, is +335. Draw is +275. And the total in that game, Josh, is 2.5. You know, that's -135. You know, USA gave up one goal in pool play. They've given up one. Did Spain score? Or was it 2-0?
That was
2-0.
I thought that was 2-1.
Was it? You could be so right. They won 2-1.
Okay. Right.
So, anyways, with the total, I can't remember. It might be 2-0. Anyways, I have to go look at that. Now you got me questioning myself. But USA and England Tuesday. That's a noon game also, and totals 2.5 with the USA looking at -125 to advance. I'm going to look into playing Germany at -150 tomorrow to advance, and then play Germany in the three-way too. So just a little bit of both, and try and win two bets. I guess I'm only charging myself 10 cents, but I think Germany's going to win advance. Germany wins 1-0. I sweep both bets. So with that being said, he's telling me 1 minute, but I think we're close enough to go to a break right now. So we're going to head to our first break, William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. I'm your host, Kenny B. Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Make sure you get that and follow Josh at JoshNagel1. You can like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And you can follow me on Twitter, too, if you like. I'm getting more active. I'm the most generic. My name, Ken Barlor, Barlor. That's my Twitter account. Who cares?
That wasn't there.
And John the Hawk Stevens, as anticipated, he run it. Got.
I am here.
Where were you at?
Traffic? I was at work.
No, working stiff.
I'm doing a little different stuff now, so it takes me a little longer to get here, but I'm here.
Nice. Golf tournament tomorrow for Pat Flurry and the Scorpions Baseball Academy.
Nice.
We're tee off at 8:00. It's probably still time to get in there if you guys have a foursome that wants
is
to
that
play.
Is that Toyobi?
No, it's at Lake Ridge.
Oh, Lake Ridge.
Lake Ridge, yeah,
nice.
Nice. Lake Ridge. It has been at Toyobi in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Pat Flurry and the Scorpions Baseball Academy, their golf tournament tomorrow. Tee off at 8 o'clock, shotgun start. So, we took second last year. Got cheated.
Yeah, I heard. Pencil whipped.
It's amazing how this one group of guys is always last to turn in their card. One guy walks in, looks at the board,
and I know
comes
who it
back,
is.
And they always come back and beat us by one.
And I know who it is.
Yeah, don't say it because I
can put them out. They're old friends of mine.
Yeah,
grew up with them.
Do they cheat? Are they cheating?
It's neither here nor there.
All right, Josh is just shaking his head.
Yeah, I'd say that's just not right, man. To cheat in a charity golf tournament.
What are we trying to do here?
They send the spotter in. Okay, we need to get to 17 under.
Right. Is it best ball format and all that?
Yeah. Like, we'll shoot 18 under, it's 19. Right. We shoot 19 under, it's 20. We shoot 17,
magically.
It's 18.
All I can say is anybody that knows me and knows I grew up with them, they look an awful lot alike.
Yeah. They're twins, but not the Vespi twins.
Not the Vespi twins.
No, we're just joking. It'll all be for fun. It's you have to talk a lot of trash when you go to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Tournament. We're probably going to shoot, I'll tell you right now, we're probably going to shoot 17 under tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll probably shoot 17 under. Let's see, Lake Ridge, it's going to be in the morning. No, we got that par 5. There's a couple of eagle opportunities. I bet we go 18 under. We go 18. I don't know what he's got from Mulligan, so that's the issue. We need to figure that out. But we're usually right there in the 17, 18, 19 under. So with that being said.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Pat Flurry, Scorpions Baseball Academy. Boxing. Real question. I heard that the Raimundo Beltran didn't make weight. Is that the same Beltran that just fought here at the Grand Sierra a couple fights ago with the Mills Lanes kid?
I think it's a different one.
Is it? Okay, I didn't know that because I got robbed in that fight.
That was Carlos Beltran.
Carlos, bam, you got me.
That was Ray Beltran, who I think has since retired. He was.
Well, this is Raimundo.
Right, so that might be his,
a different Ray. A different Ray, all right.
It's his Mundo.
I just saw that today because we went to the Mills Lanes as a kid, Terry and Tommy Lane. They boxing promoters, let's get a promotion, and Beltran fought here. And I got robbed in the fight because I had the other guy, if you guys remember, but Bob Arum was involved, I found out. So Bob Arum, love that guy. Had a nice little chat with him when down at the Atlantis for the last fights, and let him know that he cost me a few bucks. He said, "I'll just give it to you." Said, no, I'm just joking.
Yeah. So thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. So that being said, UFC, anything in the fight? Was this? Oh, look at this. Pacquiao and Keith Thurman. Last week, Pacquiao was plus 130 down to minus 110. Both sides,
yep.
Josh.
Yeah, he opened as a slight underdog to Keith Thurman, and I noticed that as well, Ken. So it's now flat on both sides, which goes to show you the early money, the early action on that fight has been coming in on Pacquiao. People are, one, he's the better known guy anyway in the public eye, but you know, people aren't too sold on Thurman anyway. He's just coming off. He had a 2-year layoff before fighting in January. Thurman did. He's always hurt. That's weird because I like Keith Thurman, but he talks a great game. He's always hurt, and he doesn't fight other top guys. And he fought kind of a journeyman, Josecito Lopez, in January. Barely won. A split decision or majority. And so this is the biggest fight of his career. Pacquiao, we've seen, he looked pretty strong. And I'm just not surprised. Can you see the money move in Pac-Man's favor? Especially when you got him as a slight underdog to start, I figured that's where the money would go.
To Pac? Well, he's the odds-on favorite. You know, you're going to see all the square action, all the squares come in and bet Pacquiao because of the name.
Right, it's the only one they know. Most of the
– you watch.
To be clear, like I said, the big, greater public at large – Keith Thurman's well-known in the boxing realm, but your public at large only knows a few names. They only know Manny.
But so, yeah. Exactly. I'm sure there's a section of that knows Manny and thinks he's washed up like I do.
Possibly.
We keep waiting, don't we?
But put it this way, John. He didn't look great, right, a few years ago against Floyd Mayweather or whatever, but he's knocked out his last two opponents.
Yeah.
He didn't look that great against the guy in Australia where he got robbed. But no,
yeah.
World champion, Lucas Batiste. I mean, he's knocked out. His last two opponents have not been tomato cans at all.
I disagree.
Do you know who they are? Do you know what their credentials are? Tell me who they are.
I'm just saying. Kenny, tell them who they are right now.
I'm just saying.
Kenny, hurry up.
He's not fighting guys off the couch. The worst.
I wouldn't make a habit of putting me on the spot.
I'm just saying the worst guys that like the last four that he's fought was the guy Horn in Australia.
Yeah,
where
Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, Jeff
decision.
Horn.
Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
Jeff Horn, Josh.
Yeah, Josh. Jeff Horn.
I just said, who's the biggest tomato can of his last five opponents?
Jeff Horn.
Floyd Mayweather.
Probably.
At least I didn't say Roger Mayweather.
No, I know.
Again. All right, with that being said.
Did we see Roger Mayweather box here?
Yeah, we did. We did.
That's what I thought.
I think that going back to what you said, Josh, and I agree with everything you're saying. I think you're going to see a lot of bigger money come in closer to the fight time on Thurman.
Possibly.
That's where I'm going.
Because you're right. He was the opening favorite. And what's funny is they actually saw a movement on him. Because at first I think it was like minus 120 plus 105 wasn't that big of a difference in the price. But Thurman for a while actually went up to 130, 135. So he saw a little bit of action. And now that you got a reduced price on him. Yeah, the bottom line is the analytics and everything would suggest he's 10 years younger. You know, he's barely 30. Pacquiao's 40. He's got less mileage. And given that obviously 10 years in boxing is a huge difference. And he's known for his size and speed. We'll see. But the thing about Thurman, it's not I like him, but he's sort of been a prospect for years. I mean, he's got one of the welterweight titles, but he hasn't done his thing. Like, he hasn't fought Errol Spence, which is the biggest fight out there, Terrence Crawford, all the big names. He kind of talks a good game, and then it just hasn't happened. So we'll see. I'm eager to, you know, Keith Thurman, if he backs it up, if he's ever as good as he portrays himself to be, he should win that fight.
Well, nobody fights anybody in that sport.
Yeah, that's what I said. What's bothered me, I don't know if you've ever seen Keith Thurman. What bothers me about him is he does. When he first came on the scene 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, wow, the guy's got all the skills you would imagine. He's got great explosive power, good speed. He's got good ring generalship. He's got the great charisma. Like, this guy has the potential to be a star. And he's fought like four times in the last 5 years. You know,
yeah.
And the guys he's fought that were halfway decent, Danny Garcia. I mean, we're talking about Sean Porter. Good fights, split decisions. He's barely getting by. Yeah.
That fight's July 20th, by the way. July 20th.
Right, that's a pay-per-view in Vegas.
Speaking of pay-per-views, John Jones, UFC 239 on July 6th. We're going to show it here at the Club County. So $15 come into the big event room. You get two free drinks.
When's that?
That's July 6th, Saturday of Wing Fest.
I'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be down. I'll be downtown slinging the wings all day and coming here for the fight. So I actually had tickets, ringside tickets to the John Jones fight through Armadillo Rep, and I couldn't because they sponsor and. I couldn't make it because of all the stuff going on. So Brandon Siri, our marketing director, Jeff Sun, took my ticket and his ticket. He's going to fly down and actually go to the John Jones site. Man, just bad timing for me, man. I've never been ringside to a UFC fight.
That's too bad. That'd be a fun time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's John Jones against Diego Santos.
Hopefully it'll end up better than the last time you were ringside for a WWE
pay-per-view
when the Big Show nearly killed Ken Barlow. And it was his fault. It was your fault, wasn't it, Ken?
Yeah, that was back in my, back in my
what?
When my drinking irresponsibly and letting my mouth overrun my ability.
So what's different now?
I tried to pick a fight with the biggest man on the earth.
I know, exactly. Don't go after Rey Mysterio, whatever you do.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio. I went after the Big Show. Yeah, he you know what he did? He came right back at me.
Yeah.
I sat right down. Which you can find this clip at.
On the WWE Network, I guess we watched
WWE. You never heard this story?
No, it's hilarious.
Oh, we're ringside for what was the event? It was in Sacramento.
Judgment Day 2001.
Judgment Day 2001. And if you watch the whole thing, was it right after the fire extinguisher?
No, it was before that.
Before the fire extinguisher?
Yes.
And so we're there and the Big Show was in a ring, and he's acting hurt. Right. I mean, we're front row with Paul Sonner. God bless Hefe, yes. Paul Sonner.
Joel Christie,
Jerry Snow
Moore.
Cone, Jerry Moore, yep. And the big guy.
Jerry Stearns.
Jerry Stearns, yeah.
Yes.
And he was there. And Jerry Stearns.
Steve Allen.
Yes. And Jerry Stearns is a big man, too. I mean,
he's like Goldberg.
And he yeah, exactly like Goldberg. And Big Show cut me, and Stern didn't even move. He just sat there. But I just,
Big Show had a tattoo on his neck. Kenny made a derogatory comment about said tattoo. And
he went from Stone Cold being almost knocked out to miraculously.
He's in
it's
Kenny's
like
face.
Like he had among his souls.
Kenny hits the seat behind him as fast as humanly possible. I'm right next to him. I'm like, am I going to have to jump in between Kenny and the Big Show? I'm scared. Kenny's like, oh!
Yeah.
It was great.
It's all documented.
You can watch it.
He went from being hurt to just rising up and standing up, and just he made this, like, for the 1 second, like, I thought he was going to grab me.
Yeah.
Like, could you tell? You know, it wasn't a flinch. He was like... And then he calmed down, and I was like, "Sorry, Mr. Show."
Hey, have you heard kind of an opposite like story? Speaking of front row, you know, experiences of this sort of thing, UFC's been putting out some of these. It's pretty interesting, these documentary things lately about their early days where it was just barbaric and next to zero rules. But have you heard the story? They were going to have one of their big shows. I think it was the 12th one they ever did. UFC 12 was going to be in New York City, but right before it happened, the state commission just shut it down. They said, "No, this is barbaric. We're not sanctioning this." They didn't know what to do. They literally had like 2 days' notice for this big event. What's going to happen? Somehow, some UFC executive knew somebody. This small town in Alabama like agreed to host it in their civic center or whatever. So they actually took the octagon. I guess it was so heavy, like they couldn't even take fighter stuff on the plane. They just the octagon because it weighed like 2 tons, and they had to make all these different plane trips. So they went down to the small town in Alabama to save the show on no notice, and they decided to give out tickets.
Who did this?
The UFC did. There was no time to sell tickets or anything, so they said, you know what, everything's free, first come first serve, we'll just give you just fill the place please and we'll put it on TV, whatever. So the fame, you know, people just came out, they thought this was cool. But it was hilarious since the
UFC
yes, like, go check out the history of this on YouTube, it's hilarious. UFC 12, because this was funny. So all the townsfolk and stuff come to check it out because they got nothing better to do. But no one had heard of the UFC at that point. So most of them came thinking like it was some sort of pro wrestling event. That's what's going to happen. So people were bringing their kids. And you can see this in the videos. They're like 5 and 6 year old kids in the first round. That was back when there was 2 divisions, heavyweight and lightweight. Heavyweight was 200 and higher. Lightweight was 199 and down. And that's where you had, you know, guys are like 205 squaring off against a 400-pound sumo guy. Some of these crazy matchups. So these
UFC 12?
Yeah, so these people came thinking it was just going to be this family-friendly wrestling event. Suddenly they're horrified when the first fight, you know, guys slammed up against the kid, blood's flying on them, and teeth are being spit out.
And they're looking at each other going, that doesn't look fake.
Right, exactly. So these little kids screaming and crying, and they're horrified. And they actually showed people, the parents, like carrying the kids out because they had no idea what they were getting into.
I will be looking that up.
Yeah.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
UFC 12. Oh, my goodness. Yep. That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah, because they just celebrated. I think it was like the 20-year anniversary of that date or something. So UFC put out a little documentary about it. It's very funny.
That's awesome. Going back, let's stay on the UFC. We talked a little bit about UFC 239. We're going to show it here at the Club Caliva. That's the John Jones, the Amanda Nunes, and the Holly Holm card. But, Josh, we also have UFC on ESPN 3 tomorrow. It's at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I know that you and Jesse James – You got one up on Jesse last week, didn't you? He kind of ridiculed you.
You told me about it toward the end. So, yeah, last week there was a bit of a card there.
You took a 230 dog or 240
dog. Right,
220. 220 dog.
Right, there was only one fight I liked, which turned out it ended up being the co-main event because the original co-main got canceled, last second injury, whatever. So these guys ended up going second to last. But a guy I think has some potential, a young kid named Randy Brown, was fighting the guy Brian Barberina. The only fight I liked on the card, I'm like, that's a huge
did you say Vinny Barberino?
I saw it.
Pretty close.
He beat me to that.
Plus 220, though, and I thought, geez, that's an overlay of what should be an even fight. But I think this kid's got a good chance to win. So I said it on the air, but you let me know, you know, afterward that Adam, it's, I guess you told me he texted in and thought, oh, no chance. The guy who did lose his previous fight. This guy actually manhandled Mickey Gall. He's a good fighter, but he did lose his previous fight. Maybe like, what, you can't bet on a guy because he lost once or whatever? But he told me he gave me a bunch of grief, no chance, this and that. And then my guy knocked the guy out cold. Easiest winner of the night in plus 220. So it's worth noting.
Sweet.
I'm right once in a while.
All right. Well, are you going to be right on this? On
I hope so.
Yeah, UFC
I
card tomorrow.
Underdog again. Ken, this is a good one, too. It's ESPN Plus, so you have to have, you know, the $5 subscription. It's not exactly free, but it's not pay-per-view. But if you get their little digital package, $5, it's a good fight. Junior Dos Santos, Francis Ngannou, and the heavyweight, they're ranked second and third, the heavyweight. So the winner probably takes on the winner of Cormier against Miocic. So this is for, basically, it's a heavyweight eliminator fight.
It's a fight-in fight.
Pretty much. It's
like
a play-in
game.
Play-in for a title fight. Exactly. It really is. And Ngannou's the guy who came, the heavy hitter who was coming up the ranks a couple of years back, and they thought he was just for sure going to be the heavyweight champ. Francis Ngannou, and he ended up losing. He got a title shot against Miocic, and he was outclassed, and he lost. He's been climbing his way back, but he still has great power, and he's feeling as you're trying to learn some jiu-jitsu and stuff like that to round out his game. But Dos Santos was heavyweight champ earlier this decade. He knocked out Cain Velasquez. He was heavyweight champion for a while, lost it in a rematch, and he's sort of been, you know, I say a journeyman, but he's been a top five guy the whole time. But he's made this surge recently. He's won his last three fights. And same thing, trying to get back in line to get another title shot. I just think, again, this is another underdog I like. Dos Santos has the better overall game. Yeah, if he gets caught by a shot, this guy.
Well, that's in the heavyweight division. That's in
right, but this guy's got the heaviest hands, I mean, ever seen. I mean, he knocked out Velasquez, you know, in his last
fight.
Didn't
they say that about Deontay Wilder, too?
Right, exactly. So it's one of those things, though. But like I said, for instance, I think Dos Santos could beat him the same way Miocic did, which was great generalship, stick and move, and don't get caught, a little grappling. But he's the well-rounded overall fighter. Ngannou's just basically the one-punch knockout artist. I think it's another huge overlay on the dog. I would take Dos Santos.
Plus $2, John.
Plus $2 is always worth it in these things for me.
I mean, especially when we throw in parlays, John, where you $20, yeah. Like the guy earlier or a couple of years ago had a $20 six teamer, all dogs. He hit it and it paid like almost $70,000.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This could happen.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest all the dogs. That's
but if you
I,
t- but what takes
but
John,
there's
you
that one
your,
UFC
you
card.
Pick your points. Yeah,
a
you,
few
you
years
pick
ago,
your spots.
All of them hit. That's the
yeah.
one he's talking
$20.
About. Well, I know what he's talking about.
$20. Every UFC card, you should take $20 and bet the top, the last five fights, all dogs. Just bet it.
Right.
Just bet it.
Fair
See
enough.
What happens. I'm gonna do it.
I'd rather separate them.
Separate them.
Yeah, you got to keep them separated.
Oh, did yeah. you set that up?
No, I didn't. But yeah. I've just. A wise band once
I'm gonna
told
go,
me
I'm gonna go. We're going to go on break right now. I'm going to separate you.
All right, great.
So with that being said, let's go after our next commercial break. We come back, a little bit more UFC, a lot of baseball talk, a lot of NBA talk. This is Windmill Sports Show on ESPN, 94.5 FM. All right, we're back. Talking a little bit about UFC. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. John the Hawk Stevens firing down some of those 805s.
805.
How many you got?
It's a 16-10 now.
16-10. Are you going to go to a 24-15?
Probably not. I have to stay pretty lucid in case I end up at the rodeo. Because God knows I have to be lucid at the rodeo. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
That's the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No.
Stupidest
thing
you've ever said.
It was facetious. All right, Kenny's disgusted.
I am disgusted. Back to you, Josh. UFC, anything else on this card? I know that I'm going to be looking to put some dogs in a parlay. I know that you like Junior Dos Santos at plus 190. I'm going to be firing on that. What am I going to tie it to?
But there's a couple other, you know, pretty entertaining fights here. You have this co-main. Same thing, the co-main's for flyweights. It's sort of similar in that it's an elimination fight, you know, two versus three type of thing. It, you know, Benavidez against Formiga. It's one of those things, if you know they're that closely matched, I would take the underdog there as well. And not to mention, you know, another main card fight there, Damian Maia against Rocco Martin. Maia's lost four fights in a row. Granted, they're all against top, you know, Tyron Woodley, Kamaru Usman, they're against all the guys who are top of the welterweight division. But he's older now. I think Damian Maia is 41 now, one of the veterans of the UFC. At one point, I just feel like if you could fade a guy who's clearly, you know, the twilight of his career, over 40, against a younger opponent, it's probably the way to go.
So Tommy Lane just texted me, and he said that it is the same Beltran, and the fight is tonight. He said that he didn't look great at the weigh-in. I'm talking about a Beltran versus I lost my, move my boxing sheet
against Richard Comey.
But he said that that there's some value. He says Comey's not that good either. So he says if you're looking to take a little bit of value tonight at 8:15, Comey versus Beltran, and he thinks Beltran's live.
Yeah. So that's why I thought it might be the same guy. Ken, A, when I saw the spelling, and B, when I saw how big of an underdog he was, because he was the same thing in Reno. He was a pretty big underdog, but he gives up a good fight.
Yep. So with that being said, so anyways, Josh, back to you. Junior Del Santos, and we're going to tie that into who?
Well, between the two, I'd say you could go with Formiga or Rocco Martin. I like both of them a little bit. I'd say Martin probably between the two if you're just looking for a two-teamer.
+135, +135. How? Why not a three-teamer? +190, +135, +145.
You could do that.
Why not?
I don't like to, you know, sometimes get too greedy or whatever, but sure.
All right. John,
yo,
anything?
I got nothing.
Anything,
man,
on soccer? Let's recap. Soccer?
It was on in the office today, and Rapinoe is just a stud. He's awesome.
Yep.
You know, sure you touched on it, don't agree with her stance on things, but she's a bona fide superstar.
So they beat France today 2-1. They come back and play England on Tuesday, and kind of a pretty good size favorite. So.
Yeah.
I look for the U.S. to advance. What else did we talk about? We talked about boxing. The only thing you really missed was the soccer, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was listening for a little bit on the way in, so I'm caught up.
All right, good deal. What else is going on in the world of sports you guys want to talk about? We got a couple of games still left. Giants, Dodgers, Giants, D-backs tonight. Anderson versus Kelly. John, the D-backs are only laying 118. Are the Giants playing better?
Yeah, they are, but that's all relative. This is not a good baseball team. Sean Anderson's he's a bet on type of guy, though, especially at home. I think he's a real competitor. He's one of the guys. We got two pretty good prospects back in the Eduardo Nunez trade a couple years ago with the Red Sox, and he was the centerpiece. And I think he has the chance to be a mainstay in that rotation for a few years to come. He's a bet on for me. I like the Giants tonight.
You like the Giants?
Right? I do. I like Anderson. I like the way that they've been actually swinging the bat pretty well in the last few
weeks.
Well,
teams get hot. Teams get hot.
They do. Yeah. Alex Dickerson thinks he's Barry Bonds, and if that maintains, you never know.
Josh, did you handicap any of these baseball games?
Yeah, you know, the Giants, I still find a difficult team to get on the right side of. But you're right. Yeah. They've been hitting a little better lately for sure, and just seemed like their overall performance level has seen a little bit of an uptick. But then for some reason, John, what is it this year? The Diamondbacks just own them. I mean, haven't they won, maybe not every game, but haven't they, you know, just dominated the series? So that's why I thought last night there might be a little value in the Giants as well. And I'm sitting there and it's 5-1 or whatever, and I can't get on the right side of the Giants.
The Giants took 2 out of 3 from them last weekend.
That was in, Arizona.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they kind of go back and forth. They switch series up. So it's, I don't know, the Diamondbacks they're an interesting team. That's a very talented team. And
they didn't miss a beat losing Goldschmidt, did they?
You know, you're.
I mean, that, that's I, of a, that's course an you absolute, do.
Yeah,
but,
you do, but yeah, but it, it's not. That's not.
They didn't
noticeable.
Fall off the face of the earth.
No, not at all. And it's just, you know, there's so many of these guys that we watch here in Reno that go up there and are having pretty good careers. That's the cool part about it. I always say amongst NL West rivals, the Diamondbacks are the least of the evil when you have the Dodgers and Rockies and Padres and stuff. But I like the Diamondbacks. I think that's a solid ball club. If they ever decided at some point to go for it and keep their – they've made some interesting trades over the years, getting rid of guys like Max Scherzer and Dansby Swanson and Enciarte for Shelby Miller and stuff. You know,
I thought they were really going to make a move the year they went and got all that pitching too.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. They also traded Dansby and Enciarte right there for Shelby Miller. So these things don't always work out. And Greinke's been all right, but he hasn't been the Greinke he was before.
I agree. Not the same one.
No.
Cy Young. He's just been – I say he's been okay. He's been good, but not what they thought they were paying for.
Then you let Patrick Corbin walk, and it's just, you know, the Diamondbacks always seem like a two-step forward, one-step back kind of team.
But what do you think about the Giants? I think it's good to finally see the influx of young talent getting in the starting rotation and stuff. Because I thought, put it this way, it almost is, let's say, start overtime. But guys like Samardzija, who I've long thought sort of over the hill, he shouldn't be, you know. I mean, I just like that they're sort of looking toward the future now, more or less. And you're grateful if he doesn't give up, you know, more than 4 or 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Runs. But what about the idea, though, that they're in transition? You know, Bochy's going to be out of there after this year. My point that I'm getting at is, so are we trading Bumgarner?
Yeah, they're trading Bumgarner. They're trading Will Smith. They're going to get a pretty huge return for Will Smith, I believe. He's been one of the top relievers in baseball right now, and he's on a really, really team-friendly contract. He'll be a rental for somebody. But the Giants were put in an interesting predicament after the championships. Yes, Dodger fans, after the championships with an S, three of them, wear it. they still, the core was still relatively young. They're in late 20s.
Right.
So it wasn't something where you dismantle that right away and then go, you know, Matt Cain getting hurt, Tim Lincecum getting hurt, Brian Wilson going off the deep end. You know, that didn't help. The core four in the bullpen, you know, with Romo, Lopez, Affelt, and Casilla all becoming either ineffective or old, you know, only Romo remains. So it's, they were just kind of caught up, and you have the nostalgia of, you still got to fill that ballpark. And so when they trade Madison Bumgarner, it's an obvious move that they have to do that I called for on this radio show 2 years ago before Verlander went to Houston. I said, the Astros got to go get Bumgarner right now.
What's funny is, as long as he's been,
I don't want to see it, but it's got to happen.
Since the start of the Giants' success, you know, Bumgarner, but he was like a prodigy then. So even though it seems like he's been around forever, he's still young.
He's 29.
I was going to say, he's not even 30, right?
Yeah.
So do you think, does he have a revival left in him? Like, could he be
for sure, like a
difference maker for a contender? But let's just say whatever contender it is, you know, he joins him, whatever. But let's say they sign him to a long-term deal. Do you think Bumgarner could return to like a 20-win guy?
You put him in a pennant race right now.
He's got that.
He has the combination of not only a pennant race, but this is his contract year right now. And he has the whispers of, does this guy still have it? That dude, he's really homer happy right now. He's giving up a lot of home runs.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Whenever he does give up runs,
it's via the homer mostly. At Dodger Stadium last week, there's a couple of homers mixed in, but he just got pummeled. Yeah. Base hit after base hit after base hit.
He beat one zip against the Dodgers on one home run.
Yeah, exactly. That was the Muncy. That was to get the ball out of the ocean. Hey, Muncy, that's not the ocean. That's the bay. But anyway, it's I believe that. I mean, he's proven it. But it doesn't, you have to listen to me. Madison Bumgarner, would you put him in a pennant race? Good night. So maybe the Astros go get him again. They got Wade Miley pitching tonight. You wouldn't rather have Madison Bumgarner?
Do you think that's where he's going? Are they the odds on favorite?
No. New York?
He would not go to L.A., would he?
I don't know.
would he be a Dodger?
Well, that's the thing. Now that Farhan Zaidi's running the Giants, he has opened that door that he's not he has said, they asked him if he would trade with the Dodgers. He goes, yes, because not only if they have the best package to put together, you're weakening them for the future, and we're taking their future away.
I agree with that.
And then it makes a lot of sense, but do you want Madison Bumgarner to pitch the Dodgers to the World Series? No. But I understand what he's saying.
But how do you think he feels about it? In other words, I mean, just...
Oh, I don't think you would want to do that.
Yeah, okay, that's where I'm headed with it. Would he?
Are you kidding
when
me?
Would he want to go? I'm sure that he has a no-trade. I get
He has eight teams on his no-trade clause. Most of them are the eight biggest contenders because he wants to be able to control where he goes. Now, the interesting part is he did that before the season, and the Twins aren't on there. Nobody realized the Twins were going to be the best team in the American League at this point. So the Twins are everything I've read, they're the front runners on putting together.
I'd be okay with that.
I would, too. I'm personally hoping for the Astros or Brewers. But Twins, right there with them. So
I hate the Brewers.
I don't want to see them in the Yankees. I don't want to see them, obviously.
I would think the Astros
Dodgers,
make sense only because the last
Red
few
Sox.
Years they've taken every single, you know, for whatever – tradable pitcher contender and grabbed them all, Verlander.
Yeah.
And they just lost what's his name to the who's on the Braves, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
And so they've seen their depth depleted a little bit there, and they
They still
years,
have the
been
farm
piling
system.
Piling up the arms. So.
You're not going to get a huge return for Bumgarner right now.
Yeah, that's what I think is rough, right? Because
his
marketability, his trade value is lower, so the Giants hold out for the best they can get.
He's coming off the broken hand last year, freak injury in spring training, the dirt bike the year before. And he's still effective. He's still is he an ace every night? I don't think so. But he's you don't want Madison Bumgarner on the mound for you in a must win situation.
As your three,
I've seen it. I've seen it 100 times. That's who you want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want Wade Miley. You want Madison Bumgarner.
I agree.
So
I can't disagree.
Who knows? But Will Smith is the one that's going to bring the bigger return for the Giants fans. He's the one. He's the commodity. He's 20 for 20 and save opportunities.
Is he really?
Yeah, and you know that's not the best way to determine a pitcher's worth, but you know it's something. He's been virtually unhittable this year. I watch, he'll give it up tonight. But that's the one, and he's probably the Giants' only All-Star. So hopefully they trade him after that, so or else we won't have a representative. But
no B. Crawford?
I want Hunter Pence making the All-Star game. How great is that?
As a starter.
As a starter.
In the DH.
I love it.
I mean, his numbers are off the chart, too.
Love it. Love that, man.
So another game tonight, too, Padres and Cardinals. That game are you surprised, John and Josh, about what the Padres are doing right now? I mean, I know they're only 40-40, but, I mean, that's
– Ken, I'll say I did some research before the year started. I knew what they were doing. Overhauling their, bringing up all their young guys. I know those guys were reputable, but just given their history and of underachieving and not to expectations, and some of the stories I did, their over under total, I just thought it was a bit high, so I actually recommended going the under. But I'll just put it this way: they've dropped off a little bit lately. They're a lot better than I expected. In large part, the guy going at Lauer, the whole young,
he's good.
Throng of guys they brought up are all awesome. So it looks like in terms of.
He's minus 130 against Walker tonight.
Yeah, franchise that's been so down for so long, it's looking like just doing the youth movement might have been the right thing. And then, of course, they added Manny Machado. You didn't know it would be the greatest fit, but they need, close to the star they can get.
Well, you look at what Hunter Renfro's doing. Hunter Renfro's got, 23 home runs? I'm not surprised by it.
They're way better than I expected.
I thought they'd be a 500 team pushing for a wild card spot.
80 games in, you're exactly right.
Exactly. That's pretty much who I thought they'd be. I thought maybe if they got a little more pitching, they'd be a little better. I thought they should have gone after Keuchel and Kimbrel.
The problem is they're Colorado's 13 behind the Dodgers, Arizona's 14, and San Diego's 14 and
the
a
Dodgers,
half.
That Dodgers team, man, they're so – I wish I could just look at them objectively and not, because that team is so fun to watch. I love Clay Bellinger. I don't care. I'm a Giants fan, whatever. I love Clay Bellinger. That dude plays the game the right way. The way that guy swings.
Yeah.
Did you ever get cheated?
No.
No, I love that guy. And just up and down that lineup, every one of those dudes just lets the shaft out.
All right, John. I
didn't mean that as a euphemism either.
I gotta interrupt you. We have to go to traffic. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.1. We're back at the Club Count Eve. I'm here with Josh Nagle from Sportsline. John the Hawk Stevens. I'm your host, Kenny B. Yeah. 94.5 FM. When we were exiting out, my guy was telling me he had one more second, and I went 94 point, and he held up a one finger for 1 second. So I said 94.1.
Completely different.
The signal probably comes one. In on, he goes, on that station.
I go one.
No, that's a different sports station.
I blew it. I'm sorry, guys. I blew it. Talk a little bit about baseball right now. We had two games. There's one other game left to go out tonight, Angels and the Athletics. Do you guys think that – I'm really surprised in the Angels right now. I mean, for some reason, they're 42-40. They're only eight games back in the West. Houston hasn't really separated, and it just seems
like – Well, Houston had a horrible couple-week stretch there.
I agree, and that's where I'm headed with this, John. I mean, is the lead insurmountable Houston's got to be the big favorite, obviously.
Houston's the big favorite. It's insurmountable in – that the pitching is just not there for the Angels. I almost said for California. They should be the California Angels. What was wrong with
exactly.
that? Exactly. Anyway, I mean, you have the best player on earth, regardless of what Bellinger does or Yelich or whoever. It's Trout.
You have Mickey Jr.?
Yeah, that's pretty much who he is. White Willie Mays. The dude is unbelievable. But it's – Yeah, I don't think they have enough pitching. They just don't have the pitching. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Their lineup is it's solid, but it's nothing compared to the Astros. The Astros are literally just the next level.
Friars versus Ramirez tonight. Friars threw a no-hitter earlier in the year. In the last 31 innings pitches, ERA is 2.59, 18 Ks and 3 walks. So you're getting a good price with the A's right now.
Yeah,
I said, you're looking at the A's right now, and what they're doing, once again, four games over 500, seven games back, 43-39, Josh. I mean, if you had to stick a little bit of money in the fire, I mean, don't you kind of want to lean toward the A's tonight and take plus money?
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, Friars has been good. What's funny is he threw a no-hitter a couple years back. And then proceeded to fall apart in his next, 12 starts. I wondered if that would happen this year. But, no, he threw that no-hitter, and he's still been real solid. Like you mentioned, John, that's the biggest liability for sure on the Angels. They have a pretty solid lineup, but their pitching staff's been a mess. I'm just surprised the last 4 or 5 years, because that's clearly the thing holding them back from contending. And they haven't done a whole lot to address it. But they still just pretty much have a patchwork rotation, whereas the A's, on the other hand, I mean, they never cease – still. It seemed to have a difficult time getting the correct side of, but tonight for sure. I mean, they've gone these long road trips. The A's, where they're blowing teams out. I mean, they can win away from home, and Fires the price is right.
And good news for their future that Otani is throwing off the mound now. He's back throwing.
From the Tommy John?
He's not going to pitch this year, I don't believe. Cueto is. Cueto has Tommy John. He's going to be pitching maybe late August. But Ohtani, I mean, for the future, it's been the same thing with the Angels since they won the World Series. They haven't had that guy. You know?
Yeah, even at times where Lackey was their main guy, and he wasn't that great.
Lackey, Jared Washburn, and Kevin Apier. I mean, that's what we're doing. But no, you don't want to waste Mike Trout while you have
I agree. And since they have just boatloads of money to throw at people, that's what I don't get. How come they're not the type who, I say not necessarily go after Bumgarner or whoever, but why aren't they the type to get in the mix for a real high class starter?
I think they are. I think that they're that next level below, the Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers and Cubs, Giants even, that could just throw money at whatever. I think they're that next tier down, don't you think?
Well, money-wise, it seems Cardinals. Like it's endless. What they signed for a few years ago between what they signed Pujols for and now Trout.
The albatross.
It seems like their pockets are endless.
Everybody loves our Pujols. Surefire Hall of Famer should be 100%, even though I know he's on the juice. It's the albatross of that contract that's kind of holding them back a little bit, I think. You can't blame them for signing him when they did, and that was really cool what the Cardinal fans did for him.
It was. How classy was that?
It was really awesome. The Cardinals have that reputation.
No resentment.
No, absolutely not.
The guy was now on the other team.
Yeah, and they did it for Stephen Piscotty the other night, too. It's pretty cool that they appreciate the what would happen. And, well, I mean, you watch. If the Rangers went to San Francisco, the ovation Hunter Pence would get?
Oh, yeah.
They'd pull the
stadium
down.
But Hunter didn't really leave in the prime of his career like AD.
No, I know, but exactly. So there could be some resentment there. I understand that. But it was a really cool moment. And, I detest Yadier Molina, but that was nice what he did.
Hugged him.
That was really cool. It's just two icons of the St. Louis Cardinals of this era, World Series champions,
I agree. Would Musk get booed or applauded if he came to Lawler?
Man,
this year
I would
he gets
applaud him.
Booed off the court this year.
I would applaud him. I love him.
He gets booed.
I know we. I didn't like
Josh,
how he left.
Does he get booed or?
I'd applaud him.
I say right now. I hope the university's in talks. They do a home and home with Arkansas starting next year. I want to see it. Who cares about the
what
speculation?
What would you do? Would you boo or applaud?
Let's see if we're good.
Okay, put it this way. I think if you're a Nevada supporter or whatever, and your response is based on what he did, you applaud.
Well, of course, Josh. That's yes. That's what would you do?
I would applaud.
Yes, me too.
You would boo, right? Yes.
No, we got thanks, we're 2-2.
He has no idea what we're talking about.
We're 2-2. We need a tiebreaker.
I tell you what. I did weigh in, guys. I'd
boo Danielle. I used to love Danielle. Yeah.
I made a bet on the Braves to win the National League East to win $500 about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
I got a good price, -120. I looked at it today, -450.
That's who needs Bumgarner.
It's crazy how fast those baseball prices will change.
Josh.
Yep.
$450, the Braves are to win the East right now.
That's who needs Bumgarner.
Man, they
grew up a Braves fan. You get Buster and Bumgarner all at once.
Would you let Buster go?
Well, it's not my decision.
I'm just saying, but if you're going to do the full rebuild, don't you almost have to?
Yeah, I mean, Joey Bart is their top prospect, and he's the top prospect catcher prospect in baseball until the Oregon State guy gets there from this year, probably. But
the Giants have the number one pick.
The Giants had the number two pick, and they took Joey Bart last year.
Oh.
So no,
but hold on, now I'm confused.
The Orioles took the Oregon State catcher that the guy that they got.
That's
the
what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. So Joey Bart's reign at the top lasted about 1 year until that dude gets there. But no, yeah, their top prospect is a catcher. I mean, it's inevitable. Who would have thought they'd ever trade Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah. So,
Brandon Crawford, I mean, who's going to – I don't know. I can't.
I know. You go, man, I have all these players I can trade for value. Why can't we win?
I know. Because you can't trade these icons.
Baseball is a funny sport. Everybody knows this. And there's always a team that comes on late. So I'm going to go through these real quick, and I want to get you guys. American League East. Yankees are ahead right now.
Yeah.
6.5 game lead over Tampa Bay. 9 over Boston. 23. Toronto and Baltimore obviously out. So who's going to win? Are the Yankees going to hold on to win
this? Yeah, they are.
Josh?
Yeah, I mean, of the teams trailing them, though, I might take a shot on Boston. I think they'll close the gap. I think Tampa's done.
I don't think Tampa's done, but I don't think they're gonna catch them. Okay. I think the Red Sox catch Tampa for sure.
National League Central, like you said, you mentioned earlier, John, the Minnesota Twins are the surprise team in the American League right now.
Yeah.
Oh, AL Central, what'd I say?
You said National
League. Oh, American League Central. Yeah. Cleveland, trails Minnesota by 8 games. Yeah. White Sox, surprising White Sox team, 14 back.
White Sox are good, man.
That's good. They're 37-41, still below
500. They're right there.
They're fun to watch. I can tell you that. They cost me the other night when that little 2-run Jimmy Jack.
You remember I had those that few year run of saying who's coming?
Yeah.
I had the Royals, the Astros, and the Cubs.
Yeah.
White Sox are my next one.
All right. Minnesota, are they going to hold on to the Central?
Yeah, they're holding on to the Central.
I think if there's one team in the American League that can overcome it, it might be – don't sleep on Cleveland. Don't sleep on Cleveland.
And Cleveland closed the gap a little bit. It was even closer about a week ago.
Yeah.
And they went back a little bit. Indians are still really talented. But that Twins team, man, that's fun to watch. I love when teams like that come out of nowhere.
I like the Twins too, but I think Cleveland has a good chance of catching them just because the Twins have the best offense in baseball. They've been doing great. But you've already seen it slip up a little bit outside of Berrios. They don't have the greatest starting staff. They've been tagged a little bit lately. And, yeah, right before the All-Star break, you've seen them regress a little bit. And I just wouldn't be surprised, just given their youth and everything, if that's just a team that hits the wall a little bit and Cleveland catches up.
Yeah, my favorite player, Francisco Lindor.
All right.
Love him.
American League West, Houston with a down to a 4.5 game lead over Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
Texas is fun to watch.
And that's another team that is in the mix for adding some pitching. If they did, you know, that's a perfect spot for a guy like Bumgarner.
Like, I mean, the Rangers right now are 10-1. Astros are 1-30 to win it. But I mean, think
it's
about
only 4.5.
It's only 4.5. One injury to any arm in Houston.
Yeah.
And give me the Astros at 10-1. The A's. Only 7 games back at 22-1. I mean, every year a team makes a charge.
I know, but
every year I'm trying to figure out who's going to make the charge. That's what I want you guys to answer.
I keep waiting for the Mariners every year to compete. Every year.
It's crazy what they did this year. I have the game. At the beginning, 18-3. Then they lose 15 straight.
They're so Mariners.
That's crazy.
Totally.
Atlanta, we talked about right now, already 4-1 favorites to win the National League East. Philadelphia trailing at 4.5.
Philly's going to win that division.
And the Nats are at 7. I think you're right. Well, I think what we're trying to do is find some value in some of these long shots. Philly's at 5-1,
or
the Nationals at 7-1. I could see maybe that might – the AL the National League East might be the division where the Braves might be able to be overtaken.
One of those teams has to make a big move, and it's got to – I don't believe in the Nationals. I think the Nationals are toast. They're playing well. I think it's the Phillies division. I think that team is just too talented.
I saw the Phillies in the throwbacks the other day, John. They were legit.
It's awesome.
They were legit.
Yeah, Aaron Nola and I love this Braves team. You know I'm no Braves fan, but I love watching that team play, and that's going to come down to the wire. That's going to be a fun race.
Yeah, I think the main thing, like you mentioned, the Nationals just don't have the firepower. I think obviously the main key there is Bryce Harper switching uniforms.
Yep.
They don't have near the offensive production. They still got Scherzer. Their overall pitching staff.
Ian Desmond's having a great year.
Yeah, doing their thing, but they just don't have production from the offense. And now Harper over there in a Phillies uniform, obviously it's a huge deal.
And Anthony Rendon, sorry. not Ian Desmond.
I meant
Rendon, not Desmond anymore.
Central real quick. National League Central, Cubs with the lead right now. Only a game over Milwaukee, 3 games over St. Louis, 5 games over Pittsburgh, 6.5 games over Cincinnati.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This division. Reds are coming, first of all.
Let me tell you 16-1. 16-1. Why not?
They're not coming this year.
Why not?
But they're coming.
Why not? 16-1.
Because they still don't have any pitching either.
Too much to overcome. You just listed off 4 pretty good teams in front of them. How the Cubs aren't better, I don't understand. I really don't.
I don't understand that either.
Let's go Brewers right there, huh?
You're going to take the Brewers?
Let's go Brewers.
Not a plus 180, John. I just don't think there's any value there. You got to get more of a value. I mean, I
– What are the Cardinals?
5-1.
Okay. There's value there. And they're going to – you know the Cardinals are going to make a move.
They're coming. The Cardinals are coming. National League West, like we said earlier.
Oh, Giants winning
the
that
Dodgers
easily.
All right, so awesome. I'm going to give you a Giants price right now.
Don't bother.
National League
$10 billion
to win the NL West. Where's the NL
team
West?
Is garbage.
NL West. I can't find it. NL East, NL Central. They don't even have it up there. It's frustrating? 13-game lead over Colorado.
How is Evan Longoria just awful all of a sudden? He's only 32. It's not like he's some old. Is that ballpark that much of a difference that Hunter Pence can leave?
I agree. I wondered the same thing.
And just go.
The guy was just a prodigy in Tampa. He was supposed to be the next major superstar.
He
did pretty well.
He hasn't had a lot of major injuries. The bat speed's still there.
Who's that?
Evan Longoria.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, another
He's
guy,
playing a great third base, I'll tell you that.
About, and I don't know if contractually what happened or how or why they got rid of him, and I know he's injured now, but why didn't they keep McCutcheon? who's also great.
They traded him last year in August to the Yankees.
Trade.
They traded him for a couple prospects.
He's overrated. He's past his prime.
He's past his prime. That's the Giants' MO, and it always has been.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the has been, because that's the way they do it. I mean, if you have this, the team they assembled last year would have won 150 games in 2012.
Yeah.
That's the way they operate. That's the way they always have.
McCutcheon, when healthy, is still a viable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you see in the National League pennant?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers versus?
Cubs.
Dodgers, Cubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could live with that, Josh.
Or if the Braves, had pitching.
Dodgers, Braves.
Yeah,
I
can see that.
And I'm the Braves are so young.
You need another starter.
They know they're not supposed to. They don't know they're not supposed to.
Yeah, they
win
don't
that.
Know yet.
Yeah. Josh?
Oh,
you
though,
don't know?
The Braves are just loaded. I wouldn't be surprised if this is, in fact, their year to get the National League championship.
We'll take it.
American League. What do you got? That's a good one.
I have the Yankees.
Houston Yankees?
The firepower of these Yankees is unbelievable. Yeah, Houston Yankees. But don't sleep on the Twins, man.
Yeah.
That team is really good.
I remember the year that they were 501, and the Braves were 501 in the National League, and they met up. Everybody
Where's
had,
the first
yeah,
love of them?
Yeah, and then so if you had those. Who's going to win the World Series real quick before commercial break?
The not Dodgers.
The not Dodgers. Got the Major League Baseball.
I'm going to go with the Yankees.
Yankees. Ooh, Yankees, Josh.
I'll say Astros.
Astros?
One of those two, yes.
All right, good deal. Let's get off our last commercial break on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back here for the last segment of the Windmill Sports Show at the Club County, ESPN 94.5 FM. You can like the show on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Josh Nagel, you can get his stuff at Sportsline, too. Josh, you got a lot of stuff out right now?
For sure, Ken. I said it's that time of year with pretty much every sport you can imagine. I said baseball, football, UFC, you name it.
And you can find me at the members bar or the Coors tent, depending on what time of night it is.
Tonight?
Tomorrow for sure, maybe tonight.
You don't know if you're going to the rodeo yet?
I'm probably going.
All right. Season win totals, Josh, one of the things that you brought up. Have you started doing any research on the NFL season win totals? I know that we were kind of talking a little bit about it before the show. Anything that you see right now, anything that you've written up, or are you just now basically digging in still?
Well, just a little bit, Ken. I've actually done more so on the college. That's my thing, and we're starting to see more numbers as more sports books come out. Like I said, at first they only had a scattered sampling of the college teams, and now sports books are coming out with every team. So I've done more so on that. But, yeah, for sure, right now the – NFL is posted in action, so it's worth taking a look at. There's now's the best time, too, of course, because you've seen the odds also change. The numbers themselves sometimes change. So to get the best value on NFL future, this is the time to do it. There's a few that stand out a little bit. I mean, for instance, there's, right off the top, I mean, Cardinals over under 5, under plus 110, I would probably take that. I'm not so sure. First year with, new coach and new quarterback. I think they won 5 last year. I mean, I think the division's going to get tougher. I don't really see the Cardinals winning 6.
It opened up, actually, some of the wise guy money. I'm not contradicting what you say, Josh. I pulled some articles today, and one of the things that the wise guys, they took over 5. It opened at minus 110.
Right, it's steeper now.
It's minus 130 on the over. So a little bit of money with Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals, John.
Josh, you think Kyler Murray could have a Baker Mayfield type year?
We'll see. The funniest thing is I'm just curious to see how it looks, because when it comes right down to it, there's so many parallels, of course, with Mayfield, and I think he looks just as pro-ready as Mayfield did. I mean, Mayfield's always this rugged, gunslinger guy, and he's sort of been that in the NFL, but Murray with his dual threat ability, but he throws it really well down the field.
Oh, he's got a cannon.
He seems to have the same makeup, so he seems to be an NFL-caliber guy.
Kenny, who do you take, Oklahoma Sooner?
Baker.
You take Baker every day?
Right now. I mean, I think because I've seen a test sample with Baker and at the next level. I'm still curious of what Kyler Murray can do at the next level.
You take Josh Heupel or Jason White?
Baker Mayfield.
Jamel Holloway.
Yeah. I'm looking at all this wise guys, even in the public. I don't think
Mayfield
is higher.
Did both those guys win Heismans?
Yeah. So.
Jeez.
Quarterback, you?
Jason White won the Heisman.
I think the third odds on favorite this year too is Jalen Hurts.
Well, that makes sense.
It's 8-1.
8-1 with the number one being Tua and the number two being
Trevor Lawrence.
The Trevor Lawrence. So,
he's going to win it. Trevor Lawrence, come on.
Man, you're talking about, I tell you what, I mean, they say he's the most sophomore-ready NFL quarterback in the history of football.
I believe it. I can see it. I go for sure.
I mean, I can absolutely see it. I mean, he just stands in the pocket. And
God, I can't wait to watch Clemson. I love Clemson.
So, with that being said, Josh, you know, five is such an interesting number with the Arizona Cardinals. You know, you really don't know what you're going to get in the rest of the division. I like the Cardinals. I think five is the number. It's a good flat number. I think it has more of a chance of going to six than to four. So with that being said, I think I would only have the Cardinals over in this spot. And like I said, just because I think it has a better chance of getting to six than under four. Yeah, so I think it's going to land five.
It's true. It's probably a chance of a push. But one other one that stands out to me a little bit is the Seahawks, 8.5. Overs minus 135, so there's a price. But I like the over. Seahawks are always there. They've sort of rebuilt, but they've drafted pretty well as long as Wilson's behind them. They've done some stuff and drafted for the run game. In offensive line, and you know, they were right there by the end of last year. I think they'll win nine easy.
Easy?
Well, not easy, but I think they'll clip the over. Yeah, and last year it was close.
Think
about it. Is that you know, hard to imagine 9-7 or 10-6 with them?
I'm with you on that one.
The Bills' season win total is 6.5, and they needed to. They're betting it over, so they actually have a liability on the under right here. But what I was reading today, the Bills right now, Nick has them at 7. There's a value here at 7. The last 15 seasons, the Bills have won 8 games only twice.
two years removed from a playoff win, or a playoff appearance, not win. Good defense, and Josh Allen, quarterback, who's just going to get better. I like it.
Josh?
Yeah, it's a tough one, only because they still seem somewhat in rebuilding mode. I think Allen's going to be all right. But they still have a ways to go in terms of, and their defense was solid last year. But again, when you face the Patriots twice every year, I wouldn't be taking them over 7.
One of the things I do like, and you guys are probably going to be on the opposite side.
You're also facing the Jets and Dolphins twice a year.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs at 10, John. Unders minus 120 with all, you know, with the running back gone, with the wide receiver gone. You got the sophomore jinx with Mahomes. I like the under in this. I think it's a lot more likely to go 9-7 than 11-5.
I think it's
plus 120.
I think they're right on the number.
I think they're right on the number.
And what are the Chargers? If they're a 10, Chargers got to be 10 and a half.
San Diego Super, not Los Angeles Superchargers. Give me 1 second. I got to find a Charger. 10.
10.
Wow.
And the under's minus
2. I think the Chargers at this point are clearly better than the Chiefs are.
And they're full strength.
And the Chiefs are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. Don't put it this way, and I'm not sure why, but it's not even close. They're like 5-6-1, or William Hill, right offhand, I think is 6-1. But I think the Patriots are your second place or whatever. Even with all the personnel issues that they keep having, whether it's Tyreek Hill or whoever, and although you say both poor luck and the personnel they're going to be losing, for some reason, I mean, why is that? I mean, why do they think the Chiefs are such a clear favorite?
Because Andy Reid has such a clear track record of success in the playoffs.
Exactly. And it's unstoppable in the postseason, obviously.
You have the big three in Kansas City, right? Mahomes, Hill, and
Kelsey?
Well, I forgot about Kelsey. The big four. The running back.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
Is not that. No, he's gone.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
Two of the three of the big four, excuse me, are gone. I see. So yeah. You have Mahomes and Kelsey. I mean,
Is Tyreek gone?
He's suspended, is he not?
I think I know he was meeting with the NFL.
I heard he's going to get a minimum of 8 games.
Probably should.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case yet.
Right, he may not see the field the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my point. That's my point. I mean, you're losing a lot of weapons in Kansas City. That's the reason I think, you know, taking a flyer.
So
plus
that's my. But that's my point. Is why are they still the favorite to win the Super Bowl with
not
all
only
those?
That, not only that, guys. I was looking at the futures on who's going to lead the NFL in passing yards.
Ooh, that's that.
Mahomes is one without Tyreek Hill. I mean, I'm looking at somebody to get some value to bet against Mahomes. I just got to figure out who it is.
While you look
Drew
for
Brees.
That, they just flashed a stat. Ryu for the Dodgers has a 15-1 strikeout to walk ratio.
Yeah, they were talking about that today on VSiN. It was like he's like the lowest ever, 1 point something.
It's unbelievable. Walker Buehler's second too. That's why the Dodgers are going to win the
National. Patrick game. Mahomes is plus 350. Matt Ryan's plus 350 and Andrew Luck's plus 350. Aaron Rodgers is plus 625. That's to lead football in passing yards.
What's passing Drew Brees?
Yards. Drew Brees, Brees.
Been through for 5,000. Been through for 5,000 last year.
Ben Wilson. Ben Wilson. Where'd Ben Wilson go?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I know who it is.
Well, people are
7-1.
People are driving around going, "Who the hell is Ben Wilson?"
Yeah, no, 7-1. I like Josh 12-1. Drew Brees, why not? Right?
I would think so, only because of course they do have the balance now with Kamara and Ingram. I mean, they don't throw it as much as they used to, but when Drew Brees is still putting up massive numbers, though, and he still has all those weapons. I mean, you would think he'd be in the mix.
Well, he passed the torch to Zion, so maybe he's not into it anymore.
And let's talk about this. And Josh,
start him at tight end.
All the games, the Saints are going to be player, obviously going to be in the dome. You're going to have bad weather games in KC without some of your weapons.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm looking 100% to bet to fade Mahomes in this spot.
Right.
Fade him.
See if Nick will give you a two-way prop, and
you will.
Minus $5 on him.
Yeah. Say, hey, what can I get on Mahomes not to win?
Right.
Mahomes versus the field. Oh, it would be like $5, wouldn't it?
Totally.
Yeah, that wouldn't be much.
Yeah. Maybe he puts in a group of guys.
That'd be awesome. I'd like to see that. He give you a group for a certain price.
Yeah, why not?
Which division will it come from?
I don't know, John.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot.
I think.
In the AFC East or AFC North.
See, Rodgers. It's hard to. Who are the two odds on favorite? It would be Baker Mayfield and Roethlisberger. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I keep hoping he doesn't exist anymore.
No, he's there, Johnny. He's there.
Great.
Right? Who's going to win Super Bowl, John?
Cleveland Browns, obviously.
Cleveland Browns.
No, the Patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
Aren't they?
One of the easiest schedules, I think, in football. I heard
every
Josh,
year? Every Josh? Year?
Yeah, the contending teams. I said, I can't see another.
I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl.
I like the odds again right now on New England. You can't go against them.
With Kansas City and the losses and injuries and suspensions looming.
Eagles, Chargers, Super Bowl.
It looks like it's.
Hey, I actually like the Eagles to be good again, but I still think it was a mistake to get rid of Nick Foles. He literally had the match.
As long as Wentz doesn't get hurt.
I think the Eagles and Cowboys are the two most talented teams out there.
Yeah, I hope so, John.
I really do.
I'm really hoping that's the year. So. All right, we're going to show UFC here, the July 4th weekend here at the Club Caliva, $15, plus you get two free beers. Do all your wagering with William Hill. You can download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Do all your sports wagering with William Hill Racing Sportsbooks. We'll see you next week. Good luck on all your gambling on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.